Ko te wai nai e nei tukou mā rua miniti mai whā karaka I te ahi ahi. Pai ki te kōrero I a koutou kātō. Ko Claudette Hauiti tēnei. Drive with Claudette until 7 o'clock. Mana course coming up at the top of that hour. Whitu karaka I tēnei pō ko te kai hautū o tērā. Te kai kōrero o tērā hōtaka ko Eruera Lee Morgan. Ka huri au hau ki te wae nai nei ki te kōrero ki a Mark Ngāhoia Scott. Māua kaupapa, it is te mautohe ki Pātaua. And protecting Pātaua and reclaiming some of the whenua that, well, all of the whenua, hopefully, that was sold off Ingara or Mua. Mark Scott joins us now. Me tuku mihi kia koe, Mark. Thanks very much for joining us this afternoon on Irirangi Wātea.
Tēnā koe, tēnā rā koe kai.
So another parcel of land has come up for sale, Pātaua, and this time it is the campsite. So what the whānau in Pātaua, what you're doing here, is to alert the any potential buyers that actually this is Māori land and it must be returned back to whānau, very similar to how the last property was bought by whānau was reclaimed. So you're just ensuring that any sale, potential sale, returns back to the whānau.
I think it's, you know, what should happen and what is happening are two very different things. I think what the motohe is about is raising, you know, the issue and probably what's happened and what should be happening, but ultimately, you know, the tribe having to, you know, find money and put money up, and that's pretty much how we got the first lot, and essentially that's the only way we're going to get back the second lot.
To be able to get that parcel of land back, though, you know, raise funds, whatever. In the meanwhile, though, would it not be prudent to ensure that any potential buyer that comes in understands that there are issues involved with the whenua, that there are claims to be had by the whānau, by mana whenua, and by the rightful owners of the whenua? And that, you know, it should be actually buyer beware.
Absolutely. And I suppose that's, you know, that's what the motohi and the occupation has all been about, is, you know, is putting an exclamation mark over the top of that land so that it can be seen far and wide. And, you know, these are the means which, you know, tribes have been, tribes hapu and whānau have been drawing on to, you know, to stamp that mark in the sky, you know, above any particular land that's under dispute and what have you. And, you know, we had to do that ourselves, you know, first and foremost, is sort of understand the historical sort of timeline and how it even come about. Because unfortunately, you know, members of the tribe were part of the alienation, you know, but it all goes back to, you know, native land law that was made by settler government, designed to benefit settlers and ultimately to, you know, alienate Māori, hapu tribes from their own land. So mechanism that, you know, some, you know, tribal members or in-laws really took advantage of as per the law, and that's how, you know, these both lots, or, you know, both these two lots were part of one single lot, you know, that was lost, was alienated. And I suppose what we're doing now is we've got a chance through this, you know, for the sale that's come up, you know, to, you know, gather ourselves together, get all our, you know, get all the facts in line, inform ourselves first and foremost, and, you know, that's what we did from the first sale, and we continue to do at the moment. Yeah, it is to raise the awareness, not, well, first and foremost of our own people. And then, yeah, for sure, you know, buyer beware. There's a range of sort of issues over, but, you know, the root of it is the alienation of Māori land, and how that, you know, those laws that were designed back in 1860s, they turned up and had an impact on our ancestral land in 1877. You know, you can lock it down to almost the day, the hour, and the moon phase. Yeah.
And so in these contemporary times today, we see the injustice, and we've been able to retrospectively look at the process in which they used to alienate the whenua. That's what I'm hearing. And we're Absolutely. Able to now recalibrate and get some justice back for our whānau because of the manner in which they manipulated the process to alienate previously. So this is not about, you know, who might or might not have been part and parcel of the sale back then, but actually in today's light, through today's contemporary lens, it was unjust and unfair, and this is what we're trying to rectify.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you look at the ills across, you know, all of Māoridom, you know, whether it's the language, the land, whether it's the culture, you know, anything that's, you know, that comes on within the, you know, the Māori world, yeah, it's, the law has been the instrument to usurp and essentially come over the top of that and, you know, almost resign it to oblivion, really. And I suppose, you know, just through the own arrogance, you know, Taugibi, or Pākehā, really, you know, they've recorded it all. You know, they've recorded every single bit of it. So, you know, it's not even our own, it's not even just our own account of what happened. You know, we're able to actually get out of the record that's per their own pen, you know, from the design, from the design of any legislation, acts, and all the rest, and how local and central government have manoeuvred and used a law. You know, law is a tool, you know, something that we're having to tell our kids today, you know, kia au ki te ture. You know, these were aphorisms handed down by the old people as well, kia au ki te ture. You know, but it's the same ture that has essentially turned our world upside down, and I suppose, you know, on the back of things that are happening internationally, you know, especially across, you know, countries like Canada, America, England, Australia, New Zealand, these are countries where they're really, you know, being forced to look at themselves, look at their history, you know, especially the, you know, Taugibi, Pākehā. Mm.
And so the government will not, well, I'm talking about the Minister of Te Ara Whiti, Calvin Davis, and Treaty Settlement, Andrew Little. They I would guess that they would be reticent to want to come kōrero because it is private lands, nor will they consider, I suppose, I'm just thinking aloud, nor would they consider allowing the whānau, the hapū, to buy back that through some kind of settlement or through the Ngāpuhi reserves money that has been put set aside. Any of those, any of that kind of corridor been had with the Crown?
Yeah, it's a bit of a double-edged sword, that one. I mean, you know, especially if you're, you're in opposition to the whole settlement formula. But I suppose, you know, we weren't so, you know, we didn't want to cut off, you know, cut off that option. And Te Ara Whiti did sort of come to the party, you know, especially with the first lot that come up. You know, so the tribe did, you know, we considered every single lever possible, you know, within within settlement, outside settlement, majorly outside settlement, is, you know, we want to sort of be sitting and having conversations, you know, lest we, you know, get tied into the whole settlement formula and what have you, you know, which is essentially 1 to 2 cents in the dollar. Despite that, you know, Te Ara Whiti did come along, they did come along to support. Even to the point of, you know, the ministers, you know, releasing some funds to be able to put in a bit of a bid, what have you. But I think when it got to the crunch, we sort of asked them to back out because we didn't want to be sort of tied into that. But and we haven't gone for that option in the second, you know, on the second lot either. Although those, you know, those are options that, you know, we identified. Mm.
And so this is 100 days that you have been occupying. Has it been a good 100 days? Has it been an enlightening, educational, informative 100 days?
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. At the end of the day, we are, you know, this occupations have come and gone across the country. You know, we took inspiration, we took guidance from Takaparawha, what happened down in Whanganui, Ihu Mapau. Everyone's got their own Ihu Mapau. So for our own, we were able to sort of look at all those other occupations and it helped us inform us how we were going to approach our own. And it's been enormous. It's been enormous for the tribe. And the busy of the day and the fact that, a good portion of the tribe don't live at home. What sort of happened is actually been quite educational for quite a few generations. The benefits of all the families coming together where, we had to acknowledge, damn, it looks like we've just been passing each other in hui. And hui mate and what have you, and what this has given us a chance is actually to come together and for this particular kaupapa around these sales, but also to look at a lot of other kaupapa across our section of our tribe.